So
I can't imagine it getting any smaller, the words. I just, you know, the funny thing is that I experienced this when I played Diablo 2 Remastered. And that's a very wordy game. And I was just like, after a while, and by a while I mean a couple of days, I was like, I was exhausted of reading tiny text. And I was just like, this isn't fun to me. Like, I just... sort of like when I took my mom to go see the Book of Mormon. And she was just like, can we go? This is not funny to me. I'm like, no. I spent $250 on these tickets. You can go outside if you want. And meanwhile, I'm the only one, you know, between the two of us, I'm the only one rolling on the floor laughing. You know?
I'm just going to go outside to the concession stand and buy a $19 Coke. I'll be back.
Warning. The following podcast is intended for immature dads only. Listener discretion is advised. This is Dad's Game Review, the most casual hardcore gamers around. Reviews and news from every platform. We waste our time so you don't have to.
What's up, kids? Welcome to another level of Dad's Game Review. We are at level 73, John. Level 73.
Nice. 73. That's the year after you guys were born. The greatest generation.
was a joke by Paul F. Tompkins. He's like, my parents were a part of the greatest generations. Here's how great they are. They're dead.
Well done. I have not heard that one, but that brought joy to me this morning.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Coffee and I are caffeinated today. And by coffee, I mean Paul. my brain has not quite woken up yet.
I have... we're doing this a bit earlier than normal. So, you know, I just happened to be up, and he offered that time slot, so... let's go.
Let's do it.
So, anything new and interesting happened to you this week?
Last week we went over to, we went up to the Bay Area for like a little spring break. Spring break!
Right.
And, it's interesting, what was happening the same time up in San Francisco was the game development conference.
Oh.
And this is where they announced like all the new things that are coming out. There are a lot of big announcements out of Unreal over the last week. And I know, like, I don't know if you heard this, but you can now customize stuff in Fortnite, so you'll be able to make your own Fortnite content.
Oh, wow!
Yeah,
welcome to 1998.
You could play as one of your favorite dads from Dad's Game Review,
right?
And like have Wolverine shoot his head off. Every gamer's dream.
F you, Chrono Trigger's cool.
Yeah. That's your voice. That's your voice pack, and you have like the dance and everything.
Right. Oh man.
Yeah, but it's been a really good year for like Unreal in general. Like the new Unreal 4 engine is, I'm just starting out going full nerd on you, Paul.
All right.
But have you ever heard of this thing that they have where it's called MetaHuman, where like you can just basically make like a fully modeled human, and you can like make them. It's like the ultimate like character creator.
Wow.
And it's like really easy. I think it's free to download. And you can make like a very realistic 3D like rendering, and so I was like trying to do it, and by default they want everything to be symmetrical, but I was trying to do my face, and so basically I look like a guy who was part of the Soviet Union. He was administrator, middle level,
right?
You know, the pay was good but not enough.
Two kids at
home, walking five floors up to the public housing. Dasha comes back, you know, she looks at you every night.
Right.
Disappointment in her eyes. She says, Mikhail, when are you going to figure out what your deal is?
Oh my goodness.
Ugh. How was your week, Paul?
Did you have to pay to get in?
The GDC?
Yeah.
I didn't go. I was in the same hotel as a bunch of people.
Wow, this
would have been actually cool if I had planned this.
Yeah.
But I was just following the news.
I wonder how much it was. A lot of these, you know, I know we'll talk about this in the news later, but, you know, with E3 being canceled and everything like that, but
It's the cancel culture, Paul.
It's finally reached video games.
the first they went for like the, you know, the sex offenders, and I said nothing.
Yeah,
gamers, and now there's no one to defend me. Right. Anyway, go ahead, Paul.
This week was good. I didn't do anything. I didn't, you know, play any games aside from the one that we're going to play today. Talk about today, and I just kind of like went through the motions, and now I'm glad it's my Friday, because my Friday is my Friday, Saturday are my days off, so nice. My Thursday is my Friday, so I'm just kind of like, yeah, sure, let's do whatever, you know. Kid wants the, my daughter's home, she's like, hey, can we build a stage in the garage? And I'm like, sure, let's do it. No carpentry skills whatsoever. I'm just going to go to the Home Depot. No, I do. I know what I'm doing, carpentry-wise, because I had, you know, what's that adage? You know a lot about cars from owning a whole bunch of crappy ones your whole life. So that's the same thing with me, my wife, and I. We've owned fixer-uppers our entire life, and that's how I know things about carpentry and stuff. I'm not good at it by any means. I'm not the whoever that New England country kitchen guy. You ever see him on
Are you talking about Bob Vila or his buddy?
Like
the new Yankee
thing. The new, like, yeah,
I'm
that's it.
The one that has the skills.
Yeah, the new Yankee, yeah, and he's like, now we're just going to take this 5/8 lathe, and like everybody has these tools in their garage. We're just going to take this 3/8 drill press, and what you're going to do is going to start making these biscuits.
Like 5 seconds later, there's like complicated molding.
Yeah, yeah.
House. Only took about, you know, 17 hours. And, yeah. And look,
we're gonna cut to a scene. You know, it's got like a wipe scene. In the video editor is using like iMovie or something, and just, it's got like the wipe scene. Like,
yeah. A standard transition.
A good carpenter keeps his shop clean at all times. I don't know. I don't know where we went. I don't know why I'm ragging on this guy. But
you're making a stage. It's the weekend. You're getting to do dad stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
I hope
my
that this,
dog. My dog is barking.
Oops.
You hear him?
Yeah.
He's
a little
like,
bit.
Because he's just like, what
he's
about
like, I disagree. Dog? I like the Yankee guy.
My dog doesn't care about carpentry. I'm sorry. Okay. We're going to take a quick minute, Paul, while I deal with my dog.
All right. Deal
we're gonna
with
do some
dog
dealing. Hang on.
All right, and we're back. Okay. The beautiful thing about pausing, you can just pause. And what's so funny is that even though nobody else can see it, me and John, we look at each other through Skype, and he has a background that's like an office. Right? What is that? It's like an office. It looks like you're in a mall. Or a lobby,
yeah,
or something.
It's like a nice office. It's like it's like those chairs in the office that no one ever sits on.
Right,
it's
right,
like,
right.
Oh, it's the lounge area where we can all relax, and no one ever sits there.
Nobody's like, but it's funny to see you get up and go towards the back of this office and open up this imaginary door and walk through. I don't know. I guess you had to be there. What are we playing this week, John?
We are playing Have a Nice Death.
Have a Nice Death. Great.
Take your time, pal. Sounds like you're going up a flight of stairs.
Have a Nice Death. You play Death himself in a darkly charming 2D action roguelike. As CEO of Death Incorporated, you use an arsenal of weapons, spells, and special weaponry to get through your day. I really liked this game. I really do. I mean, I played it on the Switch. I don't know what you played it on.
I also played it on the Switch.
Oh, okay. It came out a year ago to this day. Not to this day. March 8th, 2022. Which I thought it was fairly new. Because every time I brought it up to people around me, I said they said, what are you playing? And I said, oh, Have a Nice Death. They said, oh, I heard that was good. Like, and I thought this was a new game, but I guess not.
Well, I think it was released to PC first, but we were waiting for the Switch release.
Yeah.
So we're reviewing the Switch version of Have a Nice Death, which is basically the same.
Well, it was developed by Magic Design Studios, and it's an indie game, and the engine is Unity, published by Gearbox Publishing. So, Have a Nice Death, the way I understood it, Have a Nice Death has an amazing intro. I think I mentioned this via text. I said, I just started it, and so far I'm in love. Because the intro, I think you called it in line or on par with Pixar.
Yeah, the intro to Have a Nice Death is absolutely charming. I think that's the word you used.
But yeah.
It does feel like a Pixar short.
It reminded me of, like, if you told an artist who's never seen Beetlejuice to watch Beetlejuice and come up with an intro for it in cartoon. That's exactly the way it looks. It takes the mundane of Office Quest, of you being an office worker, and then you going through the motions, pretty much. So you are... I forgot the name of the guy. It was, like, real charming and real interesting. Jack Death or something like that. But you're the CEO of this company, and your job is to process everybody who dies. Mm-hmm. As they come through the nether region or the nether world, you process them and you get them on their way into having a nice death.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, there is always going to be some administrative work that has to be done. Kind of like that Soviet era character I made up at the beginning of the show.
Right. So, I enjoyed this game. The thing is, it's a 2D, it's a 2D realm, which is fine. I'm always fine with those, because a lot of the greatest games are 2D. So, yeah. The thing I had a hard time with was that it was just, it was very, I said this on Twitter the other day. A Commodore person, or whatever, I guess, that collects Commodores, said that, this is my favorite game, Pit Stop. I don't know if you remember that game on the Commodore,
Pit Stop. I do remember Pit Stop, yes.
And I made a comment to them. I said, Pit Stop, that's the one where they spent a ton of money on the pit area rather than the game itself. And which is true, because that's what I felt like with this. I felt like in Have a Nice Day, they spent a lot of money and time in the intro. Which, by the way, was gorgeous. I'm not discrediting it one bit. Yeah. It definitely set the stage a little on the long side. I don't know if you needed that much of the story. But nevertheless, it was still good.
It was a treat. It was a treat.
Yeah, it was cute.
You know, like when you like open up your bag, you're cleaning it out, and there's like one of those like Snickers minis in there. And you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting this at all.
It's like finding an extra fry at the bottom of the box.
Oh, so good. Oh, just like, a little warm, still crispy.
Yeah. Oh, hello. So basically, you are just fed up with your life and your job and the people around you who you consider to be inept, and you just start going to town and killing people. Now, my question is, where do they go if you're already dead? Is he just making more work for himself? Like,
yeah, it's a great question, and I don't exactly... That part of it I didn't quite get, and I'm like, oh, you have to probably complete the game and get the good ending and understand it all.
Right.
But it's like, these already look like spooky ghosts, so, like, I guess you're just, like, culling, like, the spirits that kind of just, like, straggled out.
Yeah.
Because there's also the implication... That because he's delegated so much of the death stuff to other people that like things have fallen through the cracks.
Right.
There's been organizational breakdown, and we're it seems like death is just trying to get back to back to basics.
Yeah. This this game is just you going through the motions and just killing off people and just you being death and killing more and creating more work for yourself. That's what I thought. If you're killing off people, and then you have bosses, I guess people that are in control of certain sectors.
Yeah, there's the Thanagers.
Right, the Thanagers. And just watching the total collapse of your company. Sort of like, you might as well have put Sergey Brin's head on this guy. And just go through Google and just watch how it falls apart around you. And, Hi. Yes, hello. Sorry, my dog is...
It's really... It's a real double dog day here at Dad's Game Review.
My dog jumps...
Oh, man.
Jumps on me.
Your dog is.
Yeah, hi. Hello. Sorry. Sorry, kids. It's, I wish I could... I did put a picture up once of the dog.
Yeah, it's basically like a fluffy Pikachu-style dog.
Yeah, it's just
snuggling up on Paul. It's really cute. Really cute.
It's just, you can't not pet it, you know, especially he's got his little face in yours and starts licking and stuff. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, Google.
You were in Google watching the collapse of your company.
That's the way it seems. I mean, it seems just like that. It seems like you just go through... I don't know. I don't know what much to say about this game other than it's cute.
Well, you know what I liked about this game was it asked the question, what if Boss Baby was dead? I don't know if you've watched Boss Baby, but...
I did. The first one.
It just had a similar... I mean, it seems like the modern storytelling idea is, hey, let's take something that's kind of mysterious and mystical or netherworldly and basically give it a whole bunch of like administrative corporate mumbo jumbo elements to it.
Right.
It's like Monsters Inc. or Boss Baby, that kind of same genre of it's like, well, actually, you know, to manage the underworld, it's a lot of work, a lot of filing and paperwork. And the thing that actually threw me was I forgot that this was a roguelike. And I was like, son of a gun, I feel like I've played like 16 roguelikes this year.
Describe roguelike.
So a roguelike is a game where the level format, the levels keep changing. Okay. So every time you die, you respawn. It's new. It's basically a completely AI generated level. And so there's maybe certain set pieces that are always the same.
Right.
But like the level layout always changes.
Huh. That's interesting. I wonder if that's something that they foresaw when making that game, Impossible Mission.
Because Impossible Mission is kind of a roguelike, too.
Right.
Because it keeps changing.
Every screen changes. And you never knew what you were doing in that game, to be honest with you.
I was in a mall in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because our flight was delayed. And it just had opened. And we were like, well, we've got time to kill. Let's go see a movie.
Right.
And while we're waiting for the movie, I ran to the bathroom. And when I ran back, I was like running. And it made the same tap, tap, tap sound that the guy in Impossible Mission makes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I always, like, when I first played it, I was like, oh, that game takes place at a mall. He's at Green Acres Mall, and he has to go to the furniture section. Now he has to go to the section, which has all those platforms.
Right.
And then, you know, that's the food court. He's at the mall. He's shopping.
Right, yeah, I don't know. Oh, man. I'm surprised that people even go to arcades anymore. You know?
Yeah. They still do. I mean, obviously, I've talked to you about the arcade in our town, right? Where there's so many Japanese rhythm games. It's there's like a section of it where it's, okay, it's fighting games, or it's crane machine games, or it's like the games where it's like, hit the ball, you know, at the right moment to get, you know, 1,000 tickets.
Or to win an iPhone or whatever.
Yeah, if you can get the crane thing exactly right where there, you can get an iPhone 6.
Yeah.
and that's all normcore. But there's this one side of it where like they don't even bother translating it. It's all in Japanese. It's like, what the shit? And it's just like rhythm games, like where like it's so like rhythm oriented. They have the headphones and they can plug a headphone jack in there.
Wow.
So they can do all these different things.
Wow.
I swear, Paul, there needs to be like a sign that says you must be this Asian to play. Because it is like my wife and I are like, wow, these guys are cool. Like it just it is like the subculture of the subculture.
They're just stretching on the bar. You know, they're putting their leg up and stretching right before each round.
Right. You've got your Dance Dance Revolution.
Right.
That's standard. And then they have like another one where it's like, what if we made Dance Dance Revolution more Japanese?
Right.
And then they have another one where it's like you're a DJ, kind of like DJ Hero.
Yeah,
you're,
yeah,
like turning things. And then there's like another one where it's just like, here's like a little like anime girl and she's dancing and you have to touch your like the touch screen and like,
okay,
hit, like all the things at the same time. And you know, none of it is in English.
Right.
And it has like all these things where it's like, hey, tap your phone against it so you can keep your account active.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like it's an incredible experience.
It's amazing how much this has taken off, you know, it is in this culture too. It's amazing to me that they have to think that Americans, this is what Americans are. I mean, like, they have to understand and they go, well, Americans dance, so let's do this, you know, that type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Every time I used to go to Italy with my parents, they literally would think that, I'm going to have to press pause for a second.
I can tell.
Yeah, hold on.
Are you getting bullied, Paul?
I think so.
Are you safe?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're just talking about the game Have a Nice Death. This is my daughter Mia, and what did you want to talk about? Did you is, of course, you know, like your mom, just jump in and interrupt. So what did you want to talk about? You're here.
Minecraft.
John wants me to play Roblox.
Roblox is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I hate it. I don't want to.
Roblox is, it is the goofiest, most gonzo game, because of the fact that like the creators of who make these games are all like, you know, 12 years old and from like Finland. So it's like, what if you ran a gas station and each of you had to contribute to the needs of the gas station?
Yeah. Hold on one more second.
Yep.
Anywho. I'm sorry, I was trying to find another headset for my daughter because she can't hear John. Which, I don't know if that's even possible. Do you think that's possible?
That I can't be heard? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possible.
Yeah, no. Anywho, what were you saying about the gas station? I'm sorry, I missed
it. Oh, no, there's a Roblox game called Zach's Service Station.
Oh.
And my daughter is really into it.
Right.
And she's like, you gotta play this with me. And I'm like, okay, fine. And there's really two types of Roblox games. There's like peak crap Roblox, where it's just like, you and your friend jump over red blocks and don't fall. That's like standard Roblox.
Where right,
it's just
right.
Like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
And then there's like another level of Roblox where someone has obviously spent too much time.
Right.
And so there's this game
called They've recreated Mordor. Like, just...
like... what they have done with the Roblox engine is it's like a AAA game developer would be like, what?
Yeah.
You did this for $16? there's this game called Zach's Service Station, and you work at like a kind of like a combination 7-Eleven gas station.
Yeah.
And everybody has a job and you all contribute. So there's a little bit of a, you know, it's kind of cool. It's kind of like you're in a union, sort of. You still
right.
get paid $5 an hour, which is way below minimum wage. Probably not in Roblox, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So
in Robux.
It's just a job. It's right. just a job. I was like saying to my daughter, I'm like, this is fun for you, but it's kind of like Papers, Please, where you're sort of doing the same stuff over and over
yeah,
again.
Yeah, just with different slight variations, yeah.
Yeah, so we were playing a bit last night, and my daughter's like, I didn't even see you. I'm like, well, I was outside pumping the gas and cleaning the windshields. I was actually contributing to what's going on in this world. What were you doing, emptying the garbage can?
Right.
Did you restock the hamburgers?
Right.
Like, I'm not joking. These are all mechanics within the game. It's very fun.
Right.
And, like, the lighting, like, the effects that are, like, are being done, it's just, like, way too good for a free-to-play game.
Right.
Way too good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's
on the bucket list, Paul. We are going to do Roblox one
day. We will, I guess, eventually. I'm just not in the mood.
Dude, I went kicking and screaming playing Roblox, and then I realized, oh, this is really dumb. I can have fun. And it's just like, it's like low stakes.
I'm at a place, believe it or not, in Roller Coaster Tycoon, where I finally finished like a segment of it, where one of the games is almost like a gimme in this next segment, because money is no object, and you have this huge area of land that you just go and have to have like 1,500 guests in your park, and it's like a it's almost like a gimme. Like, all right, we
have fun.
Yeah, we threw you through. So I get to put up all the roller coasters I couldn't during the game because I never have money. I don't have like 40K to do the Great American Scream Machine or, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I don't know. You know, I... bless you. No, it's my dog. Let's get back to Have a Nice Death.
Oh, yeah, we were playing that, weren't we?
All of it is hand-drawn. Did you know that?
I did not know all of it was hand-drawn. That's pretty incredible.
I thought that was pretty amazing. Yeah, so the graphics are great. The sound is pretty good. I mean, outside of the... I'm going to talk about this game outside of the intro. Because the intro... When you compare it to the game, the intro... I mean, you know what I mean?
The intro is a work of art.
Right.
And the game is a game. Does that make sense?
The game is what?
The game is just a game.
Yeah.
It doesn't... The game, I don't think, doesn't reach the heights of how great that intro was.
Right.
But
right,
I honestly, right. like maybe Cuphead would maybe be the closest to, like, approximate something like that.
Yeah.
The thing about this game is... I mean, yeah, visually it's great. I don't know how far you got. I know there's, like, more colorful levels, but, like, so much of it felt... like a little samey to me. Is that just me?
A lot of the levels were... I felt a lot of the platforming levels were the same. That's what I felt. It was like, oh, okay, so now I gotta... It was almost like as if... like Metroid... like combined with like Beetlejuice the movie. And they just kind of go through... But except you... like in this game, you had no power whatsoever other than your sword. I mean, you do get to collect, what, nunchucks with knives on it, and I did...
I got the kind of, like, long-distance size thing.
The spear thing? Yeah.
That was so cool.
That is cool. Yeah, that is cool. I wasn't a huge fan of the mechanics of the game. Like, you know how, like, when you're playing a game, and you go along, and it teaches you as you go? So you're going along, and it's teaching you. But it just felt like it got... real complicated, real quick. I mean, yes. the screen... What did you play this on again?
I've talked about this before, Paul. This is level 2 syndrome on display.
Yes.
Where you start off the game, it gives you a nice intro level, it teaches you the basics, yeah. You're like, cool. And then it's like, all right, here's ingots. This is a currency that you can use to upgrade certain things. Here's another thing you can do. Here are contracts. You do these, you make these things happen, you get things.
Right.
Here's a skill tree. Yeah. You can upgrade one of these possible things. There's some downsides, but there's also some upsides. Here's the weapons room. And, like, when that happened, I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. It just got, like, it went from 0 to 160. Like, literally felt like within seconds. And that in combination... Now, I can't ignore this, but for some reason, as two guys up in age playing these games, I cannot stress more the fact that these words are tiny, tiny. When I'm whipping out my iPhone and the magnifying glass on it...
I love it when you whip it out.
To look at... you know, and I'm just like... ugh, I gotta take my iPhone out just to read the context bubble. And you're just like, this can't be me, right? I can't be the only one
that... I'm nearsighted, Paul, like, which means I can see things pretty good close up.
Right.
At range, I have trouble. So it's like, I'm like 3 blocks away, I'm like, what street sign is that? I don't know.
Right.
Maybe Colorado, it looks like it's got a lot of letters. Up close, though, like... I mean, the dialogue, everything, all the little text things are very, very small.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's a little uncomfortable to read. I was playing on my Switch Lite, which is a smaller screen than your standard Switch.
Oh, wow.
So...
I can't imagine it getting any smaller, the words. I just... You know, the funny thing is that I experienced this when I played Diablo 2 Remastered. And that's a very wordy game. And I was just like, after a while... And by a while, I mean a couple of days. I was like, I was exhausted of reading tiny text. And I was just like, this isn't fun to me. Like, I just... sort of like when I took my mom to go see the Book of Mormon. And she was just like, this is, can we go? This is not funny to me. I'm like, no, no. I spent $250 on these tickets. You can go outside if you want. I just, and meanwhile, I'm like, I'm the only one, you know, between the two of us, I'm the only one rolling on the floor laughing. You know?
I'm just going to go outside to the concession stand and buy a $19 Coke. I'll be back.
So, yeah, I mean, so that's basically what I felt about it. Do you want to go over?
I'm honestly really happy you said it, because I was like, I feel the same way. And I'm like, is it just because I'm old? And I'm thinking, okay, so I played Rogue Legacy on my Steam Deck. We talked about it a billion years ago. What Rogue Legacy does is Rogue Legacy has the same level of complexity as Have a Nice Death. You can change your weapons, you get new powers, there's all these customizations, all these different paths, all these skill trees and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't throw it at you all at once. They throw it at you bit by bit. So at first it's like, here's where you can get weapons. Oh, I don't have enough money yet. Well, yeah. And then it's like, if you have enough money, you can build this facility, which will allow you to get more things.
Right.
Kind of like the way Bastion works.
Right.
Where it's like, what it should have been almost is, I mean, you could say this is kind of stalls the game's momentum.
Right.
But you could say, boss, you know, a lot of these things have fallen in disrepair. You know, you harvest 100 souls, we can build the scythe weapon repository.
Yeah, kind
of thing. And then it forces you to learn the core mechanics, get really good at that, and that gates you to make sure that you're getting a really good experience with all the stuff. Because I could see myself just using the same weapon throughout the entire game.
Right.
Because it's too complex. And I feel like these are things that we say a lot on this show. Like, we're so old. And it's just like, no, you can't do this. It's like when you got on AOL the first time. It's like, well, is this the internet? Is this the internet?
Right. Am I here?
Well, you kind of are, but it's like, oh, wait, so I'm not? What is this? I have to open up now. Now, what is Netscape? What is this? That's how I feel.
Yeah, because AOL famously didn't have its own browser. It was just the. Oh wait, no, it did, didn't it?
It did. It was crummy.
Yeah, it was just crappy. It was just. Oh, Lycos, we mourn your death.
Oh, Lycos, that little Lycos dog.
Yeah.
That dog's got to be dead by now.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Which brings us right back to Have a Nice Death.
Oh, there you go.
Are there any dogs in the game? I couldn't remember. I didn't see any.
I don't remember dogs being in the game. I remember these headless Thanagers with, like, a tie.
Yeah.
They had, like, a tie and a dress shirt on, but no feet. And they were coming at you. It was funny to me that they were bosses. You were the big boss, but they were bosses in this game. I do want to go over that the bosses were somewhat easy. I don't know about you, but the game overall was easy to me. Like, I don't know whether it was just years of playing platformers or just, like, you know, like, I just was running through it. I was just running through.
I think it was a moderate challenge.
Mm.
It definitely wasn't hard. Like, there was a moment where, like, I was breezing through it. Like, the first time I died, I was like, oh, really? Oh, okay.
Right.
Actually, like, the first couple of times I died, I was like, wait, I'm dead already?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It's the same thing that happens to me whenever I play Hogwarts. When I play Hogwarts, I always go, oh, right, I have health potions to drink. You know, when I'm fighting, like, a massive spider or, like, a boss or something like that.
I do like how the game kind of pulls you aside. It's like, look, you got those gold ones, too. Don't
yes.
forget to use those. Hold down on that left trigger a little bit longer, and you get to use one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go over the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, kids, this is the part or the segment of the podcast where we go over the good, the bad, and the ugly of Have a Nice Death. If it seems like I'm rushing through this podcast, I am. Because setting this up in my living room was not a good idea.
Phoning it in.
I got two girls who are making the dogs, or riling the dogs up, coming over, saying stuff like "your mom" into the microphone, you know, because they're teenagers and they're just mature.
I didn't hear that on the episode. It was like, "your mom."
Yeah. I mean, if I had another headset, I would sit them down and be like, "let's talk, let's all talk together," but they're not here. They went up to their rooms, thank God. Anyway, I'm going to put that under my goods. So, the goods in this game, the intro was phenomenal.
Agreed.
The other good I had was that it was very easy to learn, as well as, like, get used to playing. Like, you know how, like, certain games you have to, like, get used to playing it and run through it and be like, okay, oh, right. This button is this, and that button's this. This was just pretty much run-and-gun-style gaming that you just kind of ran through. What kind of goods do you have?
I agree with that. I mean, a lot of Have a Nice Death was played in the bathroom, where I was like, oh, shoot, I gotta go. Where's my phone? Oh, you know what? I'll just grab the Switch.
Right. And
I just pick up where I left off. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is where I'm at.
Right.
It's a fun game in that respect, where you're just kind of doing the same thing, and
right. It's
like a warm, snuggly blanket. The animation, I mean, you said the opening animation is good, that's true. The gameplay and the gameplay animation, and just like the way certain moves work, it feels really, really satisfying. I loved doing the charge attack,
right?
Kind of hold on and just blow up everybody.
Right, yeah.
And I had gotten one of those abilities on the skill tree where it's like, now your charge attack does more damage. And it's like, oh, the thing I like to do, I can do more often. and so, like, there's like, the different weapons, like the spear one, where it's kind of, it's kind of like on a rope.
Right.
Sort of flicks
right,
back.
Yeah.
That kind of reminded me of Shadow of the Ninja for the NES.
Huh.
Which is a really, really fun platformer game if you haven't played it. And it's got a lot of, like, different weapons, and everything about it just feels very satisfying, especially when you hit an enemy and you kill it.
I'm probably, if I saw it, let me look it up.
It's on the NES Switch store, by the way.
And
it's
okay.
It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it.
Huh. I have to admit that the, you know, what's funny to me is that when people talk about NES games and they go, oh, wow, that's an NES game. There were literally hundreds of NES games that nobody's ever touched before, you know, and that's it always cracks me up when people are like, well, Nintendo can just upload their whole catalog into the NES store.
Yes, it's as simple as that.
You know, like, if it's like, can they though, you know?
Yeah, because there's no licenses or anything. No one owns anything.
Right.
There's no intellectual rights or properties.
Yeah, the only...
It's so simple, guys. Why didn't anyone just think of doing that?
The only requirement from Nintendo was that the cartridge fit into their system. So, you know...
If it fits, I sit.
That's why you found Christian games like Noah's Ark and everything like that.
Yeah.
The bad for this game is like what you were saying before. That's the level 2 syndrome. You go along, they teach you the basics, and then all of a sudden they just, like, dump a whole truckload of fertilizer on you. And then you just, like, do this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and then you can do this, and then that will be this as possible. Which, you know, after a while becomes overwhelming. At first, you're like, you try to keep up. And then, secondly, when you think you're keeping up, there's more and more to every action and everything that you can do. So, it's interesting. So that's the only bad for me, is that it went too fast, too quick. Like you said, level 2 syndrome.
And this is purely subjective from our perspective. You know, you can play this game, enjoy it, and not feel that way. But, like, I think of, like, just other games we've recently played, like Bastion and Bastion. but Rogue Legacy, I mean, there's a little bit of a ramp up, so that way, you know, you they make sure you absolutely got it.
Right.
Luigi's Mansion too. I kept thinking about Luigi's Mansion because of the elevator and the spooky themes.
Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion does not throw that much at you. They're like, all right, Luigi, we're gonna take this nice and slow. You know,
like what's his name from The Last of Us, Pedro Pascal. doing the SNL skit I showed you. If you have not seen the SNL skit of Mario Kart 8, it's just genius, in my opinion.
Very well done.
And Pedro Pascal does an amazing job. It looks like they spent a lot of money on that skit alone. It's only like 4 minutes long, mm-hmm. and it's just
it's beautiful.
SNL, they're coming back. They're coming back.
Well, it's because now the median writing age are people who play video games.
Yeah.
So when it came out in the 80s, they wouldn't be talking about those things. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Let me just bring up my ugly real quick for this game. The only ugly, and this isn't just a price. Well, it's $24. But it's not that it was $24. It was that you bought the game and it felt like $19.75 went to the intro. You know what I mean? that was the part that annoyed me a little bit. Was that this intro outperforms the actual gameplay. And almost every game we've ever played does that, where the intro does that. And they're just finally coming around with, pressing X to touch this. And you know what I mean? Just inserting, moving sprites to, make it look like the intro. But it just seemed to me, that they had spent way more time on the intro than they did on the game. That's my only real ugly.
It's probably, realistically, probably a different team that did the intro animation than the team that developed the game.
Right.
My ugly is somewhat related. There is this inherent sameness throughout the game, more or less. The bosses, I think, are distinct. But because it's a roguelike, it's the negative aspects of the roguelike are showing, which is that things can tend to look a little bit repetitive.
Right.
And that was at least my sense of it.
Huh.
I don't know if it felt that way.
Yeah, yeah, no. It definitely, I feel like the term roguelike, it's thrown around a lot. You know? I mean, it's like, oh, well, you're just racist, or which I always say is there's no better time in the history of the world to be racist than now, because everybody's racist. It's just there's no lines.
It sounds like you're Jim Cramer. It's this is the time to buy in on racism. Go double down on racism. It's a buy.
And he presses the button, the freaking Super Punch-Out arcade style button.
Guys, it's been 2 days. I can't believe this. Racism is going just completely collapsing. This is a total sell. Maybe hold on to it for a little bit, but this is toxic. Don't do it. The racism was a mistake.
Right. My point being that everybody uses roguelike for everything, that I feel like it's changing definitions. And it's the definition isn't changing. It's just that people like to clump things together. They like to put things... Humans in general like to put things into groups just so they can understand it. So they want to put that in that bucket. Sure, go ahead. I've heard roguelike with Disco Elysium.
Disco Elysium is not roguelike.
I know, but I've heard it before. People to just clump those things together, and it's
right. TikTokers who use the your POV thing, but they don't understand what POV means.
Yeah, yeah. the kid at work who I said Saturday Night Live, and he was like, what? And I said, mm-hmm. You don't watch SNL? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I just didn't know that's what it meant.
I think there's a couple of different roguelikes we played, and I kept thinking about Hades, too, which is a similarly themed game.
Right.
And so...
It's always the guy that rebels out from the norm, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Rambo. It's Rambo.
It's Rambo. It's, well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's Rambo.
Everybody. Die Hard, Rambo, all of them.
Yeah.
Commando,
Death is just dealing with PTSD, First Blood.
Yeah.
First Blood Part 2. He has to go back to Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah. As a bitter old man,
Have a nice day. Death, blood.
First, yes. Blood, blood. She's like Michael Douglas.
My brain just crashed. Hold on, I just blue screened. Hang on a second. I need to restart.
Oh.
Okay, I'm back.
Just like Michael Douglas in Falling Down, you know?
Yeah.
You know how many things we've done for your people. You know, just...
Oh, God.
I fought in Korea for you.
I have to do a contract. What do you mean by that?
And by the way, props to Michael Douglas. Who walks around, who drives around with a shotgun in their trunk just ready to go? I mean, now in this day, it seems like it's pretty mainstay. But back then,
He was a trendsetter.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Let's go over some news. I think that's all I got to say about Have a Nice Death.
Yeah, Have a Nice Death is fun, a little repetitive.
Right.
Overall, I liked it.
I thought it was great. You know, it like I said, a little repetitive in the levels, but overall, it gave me it really kept me intrigued as to what was coming next, even though the levels were the same. So
yeah, it's charming. Definitely great for a long car ride.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally. Totally. I give it 8 dad ties out of 10.
Yeah, I'm gonna chuck 8 dad ties, and I'm also gonna throw in one of those little clips.
Tie tack.
Yeah, a little tie tack.
Let's do some news.
And now it's time for gaming news.
So I noticed something that is right up your alley.
Oh boy.
Genshin Impact version 3.6 expands Sumeru and adds 2 new Dendro users.
Jeez, man. It's really funny to listen to someone who does not know what any of those words mean.
Yeah.
But I know exactly what those things are.
Right.
So, Dendro is the grass element in Genshin Impact. Every character has an element that they can use, and then the elements interact. This is actually something they do in Chrono Trigger as well, where you can combine your abilities to create an even more powerful ability.
Right.
And so in the meta of the game, Dendro is extremely popular because it allows you to provide for healing, and it can create an effect called Hyper Bloom.
Huh.
There's also an ability called Quicken that you can get from Dendro, which makes your attacks go faster. So Dendro is really popular. Sumeru is kind of this big jungle / desert area. It's more or less Africa, I guess.
Oh wow.
So I'm actually doing the main storyline right now. So I'm in Sumeru.
Right.
For realsies. And I see that they've announced these new characters, and I'm not really interested in them. One of them is an architect. Who's like, I'm really good at building things, you know? And so it's just like, I don't know. It keeps chugging along. The big thing we're all waiting for Genshin is there's a water area that should be coming out soon. Oh,
a water level?
Yeah, each realm is like an element. It's very Avatar The Last Airbender.
Right.
That way. And so we've been to the air country, the ground, like geological country,
right,
the Sumeru. There's Japan, which is all electric, but Fontaine is this kind of French inspired area that is going to be water based, and also Fontaine is the name of the villain in BioShock, so there does seem to be some fun little nods to that, or the theory is. So
that's cool.
3.6, I'm not that excited about.
Oh, all right.
But thank you for talking about my favorite topic.
I'm a man of the people. That's what I do.
You are. You really are.
That's what I do. I look out for the little guy and their games. What do you got? Do you have any news, or is it just the E3 announcement?
The E3 death is heavy on me. I mean, yesterday when we found out, it was an extremely slow news day. Nothing else happened.
Right.
Nothing of momentous. Nothing that changed the precedent of 200 years of American society, except the cancellation of E3.
I do have one thing that I wanted to mention, because while I was reading the article of E3, other video game articles were popping up, you know, on the sidebar as I was reading. And I saved it from yesterday. I saved the tab from yesterday, but this is the title. Reduce your screen time with these video game-inspired board games. You know how, like, when you're sitting down and you're playing Hogwarts and you go, "Hey, John, I got this awesome board game just like this game. Let's go over to a table and sit down." Never. Never has that ever been. You're immersed in the most amazing world ever created. You know, and you're going to walk away and go play a board game of that. I'm not knocking board games. I'm a huge fan of board games. I just feel like it's taken on a culture. I don't know. I don't even know
what it is.
What's like, that?
There was that Pac-Man board game. Did you ever play that?
Yeah, I owned that one, yeah.
Was it fun?
It was fun, you know, in the moment. You know, because it had 58 marbles that you put on these indents on the board. And then the mechanics. I was always into the mechanics of games. I had the Donkey Kong board game, which had a mechanic of an ape. It had a plastic ape at the top of the board that you would press its arm down and a barrel would come out. You know, I was always into, like, board games that did things. You know? I'd be like, "Oh, that's cool." You know? So, there was a board game for everything, especially in the 80s when the video games was just taking over the world.
Yeah,
but E3, that's been a long time coming. You know, to be honest with you, I'm surprised expos live to this day anyway. You know?
Yeah. I really used to look forward to going to expos. I went to a lot of Macworld expos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was at the Macworld Expo when they announced the first iMac. That was huge. That was really, like, we didn't know.
What were you, like, 8?
I was 18. I was legal, so I was allowed to go.
And where was it? Was it in New York City?
It was in New York. It was at the Jacob Javits Center.
Wow. Yeah. That place is old, too. See? Yeah. A long time ago, kids, there were these things called trade shows. Back before the internet, you didn't know what was coming out or what was around the corner or what was available. Mm-hmm. You had to go to a place and go to these expos or expositions where, like, if you were a toy maker, and that definitely was a thing back in the day, you walked around these expos of tables of people peddling their new toys to get you to order some. And, you know, that people relied on this to keep the business going. Today, I don't know. You know, I mean, aside from it being a new tech playground where you get to put your hands on stuff that's coming out, what else is it good for? I mean, Sony backed out and Nintendo backed out. And then Microsoft backed out. So,
yeah,
you know, I once went to the porn expo at Jacob Javits, which was interesting.
That's fun.
But it was like, you know, just like Jenna Jameson on like a trampoline and shit, you know, like just in the entryway, you know?
It's like, did you have to keep, like, looking to make sure that your mom wasn't coming into the room when you were at the convention?
That he had that simulator in the corner.
Yeah. Jeez.
And then they had they didn't have a ball pit. They had the sock pit, you know, and you just jumped.
Oh, my gosh, Paul. This is something I would never do, but it is fascinating that it exists.
Anywho,
but the trade show. I mean, I was at a trade show last year.
Right,
it was Disney's trade show, the D23 Expo. They do that every 2 years.
Wow,
and it's an opportunity for people who are fans of that brand to come together. That's also the same appeal of like the Macworld Expo. Everybody's there because they're a fan of this brand.
Right,
Comic-Con kind of works that way too, but.
And TwitchCon.
What?
TwitchCon, which we failed to show up at, you know, because basically we forgot.
You're carrying a lot of guilt in your chest. You need to let that go. There will always be another TwitchCon. I mean, hopefully. But when you've got things like Nintendo Direct, like, what's the point of a trade show? Like, what are you going to announce a trade show?
Yeah, not many things need shows anymore. Everything is on the internet, you know? And I think maybe because, they had these trade shows originally to spread the word, but now they're realizing that with TikTok and viral videos, the word spreads quicker than any trade show could ever, you know, fathom. So you're getting the press out there. It's just a matter of, like, being smart enough to get what press, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy because in 1995, when E3 started, the best source for these things was waiting for, like, a GamePro magazine to come a month later,
right,
where it's like they just splay out the bounty of all
the
things that are coming out next. And now we know pretty much instantaneously, or we log into a live event on YouTube. I remember, like, whenever they do the Nintendo Directs and it's like, hey, they're going to announce new Pokemon stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's just tuned in, ready to go.
And they've proven it, that they could do it completely online. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. I guess that's just the way things are headed, you know? They say COVID killed E3, but I just think that expos in general are just dead.
I think E3 definitely caught COVID, but E3 also had comorbidities.
Yeah, that's true.
To keep the COVID analogy going. It had pre-existing conditions that were going on, which was, like you said, like, you know, the fact that we could just do all this stuff on the internet already, and that video games are primarily a digital medium.
Right.
So there isn't really a reason to go anywhere if your screen is good enough to display it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, but the whole idea is that the amount of work that goes into an expo, you're talking about renting a convention center. Let's say Jacob Javits in New York City, right? Mm-hmm. That's really the only one I know that I frequented when the shows came around. And what would you say the cost would be to rent for 3 days the Jacob Javits Center? Millions. Yeah. And with big backers like Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo just dropping out, it doesn't become profitable. So it's like, well, why are we doing this? You know?
Yeah.
they have to pay for the space.
It's the same thing like with sci-fi conventions. You're there for the guests. So like,
Yeah.
You have like all these actors from a show you like a Comic-Con, you can get their signatures.
Right.
You know, their autographs.
And you have to pay them, you know?
Yeah,
it's not like they're just there because they need exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just the way it went. That's the way the E3 cartridge crumbles.
Yeah.
So
now E3 was a spinoff of CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. That is still going around.
That's interesting.
And I would argue the reason why is there's technology they share at CES that you have to be there to see it.
Right.
Like, we're right now playing around with things called HoloFans. Have you seen those where it's a fan and it spins and it has like LED lights and it creates an image.
Yeah.
So you can create, you know, these cool three-dimensional effects, but it's an experience where you have to be there.
Right.
And so I can see there continuing to be a market for things like that, especially post-COVID where people want to get out and do something. So.
Right. Yeah, totally. But
I'm ready to move on from this. I don't know if you've got to get going, but I wanted to talk about Ubisoft and their AI writing team.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear about this?
No.
So, Paul, for fun, sent a ChatGPT to me of, like, here's how they would do an episode of a game review show.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ubisoft is investigating doing that for, like, writing different missions and quests and games.
Right.
So, they would basically use AI to just generate, like, I've lost my cow. Can you find 7 cows in this field for me? You know? And so there's like a community of, you know, video game writers who are up in arms because it's just like, how did they do this?
Right.
How the hell did they do this? How did they crack the code?
Yeah. Oh,
look, when I write, you must kill 6 goblins.
Right.
There's a reason behind it. As an artist,
right,
I know that you must go to this location, kill 6 goblins, and there's a reason why you need to go back to the quest taker.
Right.
Now a computer is going to take that job? I can't believe it.
They're taking all the good jobs away from us Americans.
I can't wait till there's like a John Henry of the side quest movement. Yeah. It's just like, he made 3,000 side quests in a
Rest.
Minute. And he's just like, I'm tired.
Rest.
I'm tired.
Ugh. Well, I gotta get out of here. I'm sorry. I don't mean to rush you off this.
That's all good, man.
Next time, just note to self, never do this in your living room again. Too much surround sound.
Well, you sound fine to me, Paul. I don't hear any background
noise. Oh, okay, good.
If I would tell you, I'm not like being passive aggressive where it's like, no, it's fine.
That's
it. I mean, it's a little bit of background, but it's okay. I
can right. Oh man, but you can find us at the usual places at Dad's Gaming Review on Twitter. You can yell at us there and tell us what we got wrong, and where they can find you, John.
Yeah, John Everson D20 on the old Twitter. And, all those fun spots.
All right.
But what are we playing next week, Paul? I guess we can talk
next
about that.
Week we are playing... Oh, dog has to say. Black Future 88. Another roguelike platformer.
Yeah, yes, we're going to find out how much we can take.
Right.
But speaking of Impossible Mission, this game kind of looks like that. So
it looks pretty cool. It looks pretty cool. I can't wait to jump in. I'm going to be playing it on my Switch.
I will also be playing it on my Switch because it's on sale on my Switch, and it's $20 on my Steam.
Oh, okay.
We're going to save a little bit of money
there you
next
go.
Week on Dad's Game Review.
There you go. All right, John. I guess I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds All right. like a plan. Take
Sounds
care, good.
Everybody. Later.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.